That's my bro.
Easy, bro. You're right.
Bro, you're early, man. on time.
Yeah, I wanted to be on time. I didn't. I was gonna message you and say ready when you are, but just...
I'm always on time, man. I'm always having to wait for people.
I swear.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad. There's a couple where I've had to wait for like 5-6 minutes.
Oh no.
Which is long, you know, like that's you know on a live when you're just waiting for 6 minutes by yourself. Like it's not like you plan.
That's exactly. I don't want to leave you just sitting not talking to anything.
But how you bro?
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, it's all good.
Oh, that's really...
How you been though?
Yeah, good man, you?
Yeah, not bad. Just keeping myself active with this, man. Like I can't really say anything else. Like nothing else.
Yeah, no, mate, you've been smashing it. I had to miss you the other day and say you're smashing.
Yeah.
I like to give props to people when they deserve them. I don't do it a lot. Like message people when I think you're doing it, you're smashing it. So I had to message you and say, like, keep it up and that. You're smashing it.
No, I appreciate that, bro.
I've been tuning in, and I've been finding it quite interesting. Like, listen, because what I've been finding interesting is like listening to DJs that aren't necessarily like absolutely like made it, smashed it, but they're kind of getting there, and it's good listening to them, seeing that sometimes when you're like going through your own kind of thing, when you listen to other people talk and what they're doing, you're like, oh right, it's not, I'm not alone kind of thing, you're not. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Well, where would you say, what stage would you say you're at?
Well, me personally,
yeah,
I'm nowhere near like where I want to be. I'm kind of, it's weird because I went from, I'll probably talk about it, but I went from like kind of being your high street club DJ, Delta clubs, I still DJ at Unit, but you know, Attic and stuff like that. And I went from doing that, and I'm kind of transitioning from going to, from being that kind of club DJ, that multi-genre club DJ. I want to kind of transition now into kind of being more just house and tech house and that kind of scene.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of in transition. So where I've gone from kind of being, at the top of my game in the like kind of nightclub scene, I've gone from that to now I'm kind of at the bottom, really, of the tech house kind of scene.
So that's a big question as well. Like, is it hard as an urban DJ or multi-genre DJ to go into the house scene and vice versa?
I think it is, because where you're kind of, a lot of people say, oh, there's no perception or anything like that. But I think where I've DJed for so long,
in your unit sevens,
in, you know, your fictions, in your attics, where you now approach house promoters, they might say it's not the case, but I definitely think it is the case. They look at you and go, well, we want underground DJs. Like, Unit 7's not underground enough for you to play at our thing. It's not like a credible... So it definitely has like a... Because what they think, and fair enough, is, you know, they think, oh, we book Goody. He's going to come in and play too commercial. He's going to play a Jess Glynn remix, but that's not the case. But that's probably the perception going from, you know, doing your multi-genre stuff. Oh, is he going to play an R&B tune in a house rave? Like, not the case, but I definitely think there's that kind of perception from house promoters or underground promoters that could happen. It's a risk. They'd rather go for people who are in that scene. So it's hard. It's hard going from that scene to the other, definitely, I think.
What do you kind of do to try and transition and get those gigs? Like, how hard is it to, like, obviously, I know it is quite hard for you as well, you're saying, but, like, what do you kind of, what's the process?
Did you start learning about
the history of techno and stuff like that, or?
I've always been a big fan of it. I've always gone to parties and raves and stuff like that. I never really knew I wanted to kind of DJ it, so I started going to the raves and stuff. I'm kind of figuring it out, really. Like, I'm figuring it out as I go along. I don't really know the answer. If I knew the answer, then I'd be in all the parties doing
that. Yeah.
At the moment, what I'm kind of concentrating on is like producing my own music.
And
I've been doing that for about a year now. So I want to, you know, get to a level where I'm producing music where promoters are saying, we want this guy because he produces like bangers. He produces music that we play, so we might as well book him. Like, that's how I'm going about it. You can go about it different ways, but that's how I want to do it.
So going to your career, how did you start? How did DJing start for you?
Basically, my dad was is a nightclub manager.
Yeah.
And so I've always been around it, like growing up. And I remember when I was like 11 or 12, he had a DJ mate and he came round. And I remember just talking to him. I think he showed me Twitter for the first time or something like that. I think he like helped me out on like a Call of Duty game. But he drove a nice car. He had a nice watch and that. I just thought, you're so cool kind of thing. And then I never really understood what it was. I'd always loved music. Then I got to like the age of like 15 and I was at like house parties and they'd be playing music on an iPod and I used to think, oh, it's shit music. Like, I'd love to be actually DJing this. So I always had it in my head. And then I think I went to V Festival and saw this DJ on this big stage and I was like, and everyone going crazy, and I was like, whoa. Because before that, like, it was just artists on stage. Yeah. Like, it was, you know, singers, rappers and stuff. And this DJ was on stage to, like, 10,000, like, I don't know how many people, but all these people, and I was like, whoa. I didn't really know that was even possible. Like, so then I kind of researched it more. And then, so my dad was managing a nightclub. In Chelmsford, my hometown, and one of the DJs, like, my dad mentioned to him that I kind of had an interest in DJing, and he said to him, well, look, I'll teach him and hopefully get him to a level where, like, you know, he can do the first hour, and then we can go for a drink at the start of the night. So that was kind of their mentality, that, like, they wanted to go for a drink, leave me just to DJ. So about 16, I'd go in on like a Friday night. I'd go in first hour. The DJ there would literally just like go through like really basic stuff. Like, at first, I was literally just picking songs, like making playlists.
Yeah.
Like, he said, just make a playlist of 30 songs that you'd play right now. It was nothing technical. I didn't touch anything technical for about 3 or 4 months. I was literally just like learning like programming and like, because he wanted to trust that I was going to play warm up stuff. And it kind of progressed and progressed from there. After about a year, I was doing technical stuff, still doing it all for free. So that, and it just kind of progressed. I was doing warm ups on a Friday, warm ups on a Saturday.
Mm.
And then I got to about 18, I left school. I was doing warm ups on a Wednesday. And then slowly from there, I just kind of built up my sets and went from doing warm-ups to the main sets. Just kind of went from there, and then I had to kind of build it up, really.
So
I started fairly young, like in the club scene.
So in your opinion, what makes a good DJ?
What makes a good DJ? I think just being original, not doing the same thing everyone's doing. Trying new things, taking risks. I always think a good DJ is not necessarily someone that plays the bangers that everyone expects you to hear. I think a good DJ plays music that you didn't expect to hear. Do you know what I mean? But you didn't know that you wanted to hear. So they play a tune and you're like, oh my God, I haven't heard that in years, or like, oh my God, like, I've heard that on like a radio show like 5 weeks ago, but I haven't heard it in a club. Like, it sounds amazing in a club. I think a good DJ does that. Like, they play, you know, they keep the crowd happy, but they also leave the crowd leaving that experience where they go, like, whoa, like that tune, I haven't heard that in years, and he's put it on, it's my favourite tune, like, and it just leaves you thinking, like, do you know what I mean? Because I think it's very easy for DJs, you know, if they have, say they have an hour set, they can go on and they can play every banger for an hour. That's so easy.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of DJs do that. Like, a lot of DJs get paid, like, you know, the bigger DJs. They do an hour set, they come in, they go from start to finish, all the biggest songs at the moment. I think it's easy to do that. And I think what's harder to do is playing songs that this crowd didn't know that they wanted to hear. I think that's, yeah.
Kind of testing the waters.
Yeah, definitely.
So for you in your career so far, looking back at what you've done, what's been the highlight?
I've had a few like moments. Like, so I remember when I was like 19, I think I got a mix on Kiss. Like, that was the highlight then. And then,
yeah.
I went to Zante and I was doing warm up for Nathan Dawes, mm-hmm. like, tour out there. That was a highlight at the time. DJ that We Are last year, that was a highlight. Just like little bits like that.
I was like, little? Like, I don't know how that's little, bro. Like, like some small things. We Are, man, like.
No, well, you know, the We Are thing, that was good. It wasn't like main stage doing anything. It was like,
that's still big though.
Like, yeah, no, don't get me wrong. It was a proud moment to have my, probably that, to be fair, it was a proud moment to have my name on the lineup with, like, I looked at my name and then I looked over to the left and there's MK, you know, all these big DJs. So that was I'll always have that, that photo of the lineup. I'll always have that to look back on, you know, when it's all said and done. I can always look back on that. Hopefully I get more than, you know, do more than that. But yeah, probably that last year and just like certain residencies that I've been proud of. Like, I've been doing Unit 7 in Basildon now for three years, I think.
Yeah.
And we've held that like down for 3 years in a consistent night. For that long, and I can definitely look back on that when it's all said and done. Like, if that was to ever end, you could look back on that and say, you know what, like, fair play, we held it down for 3 years. We stressed it for 3 years. Like,
do you kind of get bored of the residency though, or do you think it's you like it there?
I think it depends where it is, to be fair. Like, I never get bored of Unit, because it's always evolving.
Yeah,
we try and evolve it. So like, when we first went in there, it was purely commercial. Like, it was your remixes of, you know, like an R&B tune. It was just a remix house version, so it was just up tempo. And we went in there and we kind of saw that there was a crowd there that wanted the more underground, the more tech stuff, and we kind of evolved it from there. And then to now, we just play like the underground and the tech stuff with a few commercial stuff. But what we've done in the last 3 years is like, we changed the set of the stage. So it was just like a DJ booth, and now it's like this big stage and with LEDs and light and lasers and stuff. So it's a bigger production, and that's always changing. The crowds always change, and there's always different challenges. So that I've never got bored of that. But sometimes you can get a bit bored, but then you just change it up. But I on Saturdays, whenever I was doing residencies on Saturdays, I would normally change it up after like a year, and then kind of switch it like that.
Yeah.
It's only like Friday I've really been doing the longest. I was doing a Wednesday for quite a while. But yeah,
do you ever get scared or worried about your residencies losing them or getting chucked off of it?
I've never really had that kind of. I've never had that an experience of that, like where you kind of get replaced because you're not good enough or the manager's not feeling you or
yeah.
I've never had that experience. I suppose it's never happened. I try and build like relationships with the staff and the management and the door team. And I just try, as soon as I go into a venue, I try and build a relationship with them, because I think then it's less likely to happen that they'll just sack you off and replace you with someone new, because they have an affinity for you. You know, even if maybe, you know, performance has dipped, not saying it had, but if performance has dipped, if you have a relationship with them, rather than just binning you at the first opportunity, they can, you know, they can come up to you and say, look, this might not have been working. Is it right if we can try this? And then it just works out better. So I think I've always had a really good relationship with the managers that I've worked for.
Yeah.
So, I'm not worried, but if it happens, it happens. Like it's not that deep. Like there are a lot of other places where you can go and work. So it's life. Sometimes
it's life. It is. It's a learning point.
100%.
Like that's the game right now. It's just every day is learning basically.
100%. So if it did happen, you just look at the situation and go right. And you have to be critical of yourself, right? Maybe I fucked up. I can learn from that. I won't do it the next time. Yeah, I think you should learn from everything, really.
So a lot of people don't understand how hard it is actually to get gigs in clubs. So, like, what advice would you give to up-and-coming DJs trying to get the gigs in the clubbing industry, and how hard was it for you, or was it easy?
I understand how hard it is, because I've been working at a club. My day job is working in the clubs as well, like doing the social media and the marketing and that. So I get DJs all the time messaging and asking. And a lot of the time, like when you've got a resident in each room that's been there for a year or 2 years, when DJs are coming and saying, oh, listen to my mix, like the amount of mixes you get sent, and sometimes we'll sit and listen to them, but again, it's just an hour of the same tunes that everyone's doing, and it's hard. Like you get a lot of messages saying, oh, do you think I can get in, but it's just you can't replace your resident that's there. Yeah. So in the mindset of me going to someone else saying, look, can I get a gig here, I know that they've already got a resident there, like they're gonna have to that to get you in, they're gonna have to replace, and they might not want to do that. So it's hard. I think it's massively about time and place. Like I don't think there's a set way to do it. I think a lot of the time it comes down to luck, who you know, your relationships with them, you know. So
I'm gonna ask you this: which way did you want your career to be? Like, do you want to go into producing first and DJing, or DJing and producing?
I've always been DJing, and I've got into producing, like afterwards. I know that other people do the opposite. So yeah, I suppose from DJing to producing, but I suppose where I'm at now is I'm doing more producing than DJing. Yeah. So I suppose I'm hoping that my production and that will get me to, you know, the point where I get booked based off my music, not off of what I've DJed in the past.
What's your kind of aims for your producing side of things? Where do you think it's going to go? Where are you trying to take it?
I've only been producing for a year. So I still class myself as learning. Like I still want to learn. I'm still asking other producers loads of questions in that.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to kind of find my sound and kind of grow my sound. Like in lockdown, I've been really trying to like experiment with different types of music to kind of find my lane. So I'm just kind of doing that at the moment. And then I'm hoping, you know, in the next 2 or 3 years, I can get like my music signed to, you know, decent labels and get my music out on, you know, like Spotify and just aiming for big labels, and just want DJs playing, like DJs that I respect to play my music. That's where I'm at the moment. That's what I want to do. But in 4 or 5 years, you know, I want to be producing. I want to be producing music full time, and you know, hopefully, like touring based off that music. So,
what's your first kind of steps when you come out of quarantine? What's your first kind of moves you're gonna do?
I personally want to, on a personal level, I do want to get back into just the clubs and.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've kind of taken a little bit of a break, because I suppose I did get a little bit bored of like that club scene.
Yeah.
I kind of cut. I was doing Wednesday night, sometimes doing a Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, for 4 or 5 years, doing that consistently for that long, and I kind of cut it all back to just doing one night a week.
Yeah.
Just because I felt like I needed a bit of a break from it. So on a personal level, I want to get back into the clubs just to I want to be able to earn my money doing that, so then I've got more time during the week to be able to produce music. Mm-hmm. And learn and produce that side of it. So I want to kind of get back into the clubs on Saturdays and or maybe get like a midweek session to try and then kind of fund everything else and kind of, you know, like just get back playing in clubs a little bit more.
What's your kind of plans for overseas gigs? Where do you want to, what countries do you want to tour? And which cities have you DJed in that are popping?
Abroad-wise, I just want to get to Ibiza. Like, that's the place I want to be. Like,
yeah.
I go there every year. I go there, like, sometimes twice a year. And I just love it. Just absolutely fell in love with the place. So I want to get there and be, you know, not just be going there on holiday, but going a few times in a summer just to, you know, just to DJ and do all that. But there's other places I want to. I've been to Zante, obviously.
Yeah.
I like that as a kind of party place. Just the standard ones. I'd like to go to, you know, I'd like to go Magga and DJ. I think everyone always raves about that. In terms of UK, I've DJed loads of places. I'd like to DJ in Manchester. I've never DJed there. I've DJed in Bristol. Wasn't Birmingham, just outside Birmingham, but up kind of that way. I'd like to DJ in London more, to be honest. I don't DJ in London a lot at all.
Yeah.
I DJ mainly around Essex and that kind of it. And around Essex, like Chelmsford, Colchester, Romford, I've DJed everywhere. Like in Chelmsford, mm-hmm. I've DJed in every venue that's there. So
you were saying before that you went to raves and stuff like that. Do you think the clubbing scene is dying out and the raves and festivals are coming up?
They're definitely the strongest thing at the moment. They're like the strongest. Like they're pulling people away from your nightclubs on Saturdays. It's frustrating as a when you're doing you're DJing on a Saturday night and you think, oh, it's pay weekend, gonna be big tonight, and you turn up and it's not what you expect. It's all right. It's mediocre. But and then you go on social media the next day, and everyone that you would have expected to have seen at the night before are on a train on the way to some day party or day rave or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, that's where everyone's going. They weren't even going anywhere last night. They're going the next day.
Mm.
And they're doing that. So for the price of what you might spend on somewhere in on the high street, at a Delta club, you can get a ticket, especially in Essex is being hit with it a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's so close to London, people can get on a train for...
People are going to London.
Yeah, you for a £20 ticket and a £30 actual entry ticket, why wouldn't you go to a big like production set in London? Why wouldn't you do that? Why would you stay on your doorstep?
So do you think the Essex scene is kind of dying out, but also do you think obviously the help with all these events coming up in Essex is helping the clubbing scene to just stay active?
I don't want to say dying out because I think that's a bit bleak. Like, that's a bit of a... I don't think it's that bad because there's always going to be people that want to go out. But
yeah,
I think, like, where it was before, where you were, like, so... When you were, like, 18, you were so buzzing to go to the club on your high street or wherever you live, like, that big club. Now people are like, I want to go to the brands or the events in London and etc. So I wouldn't say it's dying out, but it's definitely taken a bit of a hit. Like, it's not the main attraction. Like, it's kind of it's everyone's second choice, I'd say personally.
What do you think about like the Essex scene at the moment though? Like, is it your kind of cup of tea there, or is it not? Or
I don't know if there is an Essex scene anymore. Like,
do you think there was before and not now?
Yeah, there definitely was before. There was definitely like a core group of DJs that you just kind of knew in every club. There was a core group, but those clubs have kind of I've gone. Like, I know Faces is reopening, but that closed. That was like a staple in the Essex scene for however long. You know, and a lot of the clubs are closing down. So
yeah,
it's
hard to say, isn't it?
The Essex. I don't know. Yeah, I suppose there isn't really a scene anymore. Like,
yeah.
I don't think there's really. You know.
Sorry, bro. I just had a call. Sorry.
Oh, that's right.
So,
what do you think? Do you come to Essex a lot?
I've only DJed in Essex once, so I can't really say much about the Essex scene. But what I know is that in my opinion, the events are holding it up.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't gone clubbing actually in Essex, and I haven't DJed enough in Essex to know. But in what I've done and what I can see from stories and stuff like that, is that the events are holding up Essex and stuff like that, because now, as you said, obviously people like, why pay only £20 more or something like that to come to London to a bigger rave or to a bigger event or something like that?
Yeah, like a lot of the Essex scene, if you will, is they've kind of moved to London. Like the people that run the brands who are from Essex have taken their parties to London. I know a lot of people, like obviously George and Love Juice, he massively moved Love Juice from what it was. It was an Essex brand, you know, in Sugar Hut, Citizen, all these Essex places. He's evolved it and he's taken that to London, and then, you know, there's a few brands at the moment that the people that made them are from Essex, but they've taken it to, so if anything, I think the events have taken it out of that to the point where there isn't anything really going on. There's not a lot going on in Essex. Like, you've got your you've got your just commercial bars and that, but that's just for your standard people that want to get pissed on a weekend. There's no real
clubbing scene.
It's just your kind of commercial like places, you know what I mean?
Do you think clubbing's going to a more of a bottle spend kind of thing and not just for passion of music, or do you think that's only certain clubs?
I think that's certain clubs. I think that's more with the in Unit 7, the R&B hip hop room, the bottle spend and that is huge, and like that's a big part of it. But I think just the clubs in Essex are just for the nights where you just want to get pissed with your mates. But just like as a last resort, like what are we doing this weekend? Oh, we've got nothing to do. Oh, let's just go to the high street and go to a club. Like, I don't really have a point of view on bottle and all that kind of stuff because I'm not involved with that kind
of. So, how are you hosting your sets? Are you good on a mic as well, or are you kind of scared of that, or did it take time to build up?
I used to be big on the mic. Not big on the mic, but the DJ with Sam Callahan, one of my good friends, he doesn't really talk on the mic, so I would kind of have to host, used to host my sets, and it was different. Like, when I first started, I was petrified of doing it. I didn't want to pick up the mic. And then I kind of got used to it. And I kind of got over that. The first time my friends heard me on a mic, you know, it was like everyone bantered me for it. But as soon as you get past that, and when you see it adds to your set, I've really, really enjoyed using it. And that's when I was doing a lot of kind of like events or parties where it was just students, and it's good to interact, it's good to get on the mic and that. Now where I'm doing more of just like house and tech house, at those kind of parties and raves and stuff, you don't really touch the mic. It takes people out of that experience in a rave if someone was there hopping on mic and be like, put your hands in the air, what are you saying? Oh, it's kind of like, that would take people out of that experience. So I'll kind of, where now I just DJ on a Friday at unit, where we in our rooms strictly just play house and tech house and underground stuff, I've kind of stopped using it. I've stopped using it for a long time now. So now if I were to pick it up, I'd still be comfortable, but I wouldn't be as natural on it as I used to be.
So what's your kind of take on the warm-up DJs not playing a part in a set?
Oh, right, I see a few people talking about this on your lives. Explain, like, so...
So they haven't warmed up the crowd properly, all the bangers before even the clubs even got packed, blah, 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 and ruining the set for, let's say, you or another DJ or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I've warmed up from a lot of, obviously, booked artists. I actually find that warm-up quite stressful purely because of that. Like, I don't want... As a warm-up DJ, you have got to, you know, you've got to keep the crowd there for the DJ to come on. But you've got in the back of your head, I can't play any bangers or any, like, absolutely you shouldn't. But you've got to keep that crowd there. So it's a really hard balance. It's a very fine line of where you can go and you can't go. But also, I think it's not playing a banger, but I think it's fair enough playing like a floor filler. Because if I was a DJ going on, I wouldn't want the warm up DJ to be boring and not playing any decent songs. Because if you then go on and the crowd either aren't interested, aren't there, they've left and gone to a different room, then you've got no dance floor and when you're going on and you've got no dance floor. So I think there's a balance. I think you've got to play, as a warm-up DJ, you've got to play not bangers, but you've got to play like floor fillers. You've got to create that vibe for the DJ to go on and then smash it.
But do you think also that's because not many people, when I say educate, like educated in the sense of knowing and getting the knowledge of what a warm-up set is?
Yeah, I think some warm-up DJs don't, I think they panic and they see that, oh, the DJ that's about to go on's over there, I need to impress him. So they go, right, I need to impress him, or I've got to play his banger.
yeah,
I've definitely seen some DJs do it, and I see it in them that they're like, right, this is my chance to impress them, smash the set, and they have, and they start playing bangers, and then I will look at the DJ that's been booked, and I can see his face, and you think he's trying to do one thing where he's expecting the other thing. Like, he'd probably be more impressed if you didn't play the bangers, and that does come from experience, like just knowing, like, this isn't your, just because there's a DJ standing next to you, this isn't your time to shine, like, in terms of, you know, smashing it with big tunes, you know what I mean? This is your time to shine in terms of creating a vibe. You kind of got to sacrifice your set for their set, really.
Yeah, definitely. It's, you know what, it's a lot of learning, though. A lot of learning in terms of how to crowd read and everything. So with your crowd reading, how long did it take for you? And, like, was it easy to get a grasp of that, or...?
You can tell when someone's in, when a crowd are enjoying a set, and you can tell if they leave the dance hall when you play a bad tune. You know, there's no clearer indication than that you've just done something wrong. So then you learn the hard way.
Yeah.
I remember when I was doing like the early warm up sets, and it's 10 o'clock, and I play a few songs, and the dance hall gets going. I'm like, oh yeah. I'll play one song, which is the case a lot of the time. Like, it's happened to me in the last year or two. You play your song, and the whole dance hall clears, and you're like, whoa. it's happened to everyone. There's no DJ that can say it hasn't happened to. And so you've just, there's no bigger learning experience than literally it happening to you. So you learn to read a crowd by that.
And, Are you a big critique on your sets?
I'm quite hard. I can be quite hard on myself, to be fair. Like, if it's not, whether it's like the vibe of the night or whether it's my own personal set, on the drive on the way home, I'll definitely think about it. And like, there have been, like, me and my, we call it DJ depression, but I shouldn't use the word depression because it's not. But it's like when you're on your way home from the gig. I think every DJ's had it when you're on the way home from the gig and you're just like fuck, and you're so down because you feel like you've not fucked up, but you're like that wasn't good. That wasn't good enough.
Yeah, yeah.
And you really think about it. You really deep it for like the whole drive home. You're just like. And then it goes from that to like, what am I doing? What, like, do I even want to do this? Like, it can. I'd be interested to know if there'll be other DJs I think that have the same thing. But I've spoke to a few, and there's definitely a few where there are moments where you're just like, you've had a bad night, you've had a bad set, whatever, and you come away from it and you start questioning everything. You're like, what am I doing? I'd like to hear if other DJs have actually had that kind of that feeling. Have you?
I've had not that fear, but I've had like where I forgot to play these tracks that I came out just to play those kind of tracks. You know when you come out and you have the set, you're like, okay, there's these three tracks that I want to put in, but because you're either into your set or your mind somewhere else and stuff, you forget to play them, and I knew they would like properly pop in the club, and then I didn't play it, and I'm like, why? Why didn't I play it and stuff like that?
Yeah.
I've had a couple of things where like just messing up the set a little bit in terms of like, you know, pressing the wrong cue button or pressing the play button on the wrong deck or whatever, stuff like that. But I've never really had, because I don't really get sets that often, which is why I'm working too. So I haven't really had that major one where I'm like, coming back from it and I'm like, what did I do here?
Yeah. It does happen. It does get deep sometimes. Like, me and my mate says, like, it's fucked. Like, you can be, yeah. you can, you can have a good week the week before, and if you have a bad week the week after, you're on your own. You're just like, what am I doing? Like, you just question everything. You question, should you even be doing what you're doing, which is ridiculous. Like, but you just you question it, and so yeah, I can be quite critical of myself. Definitely, like you say, like I'll come back from a set and I think I've gone, like, I haven't taken, I look at it and think that was the same set as I played last week.
Yeah,
you can do that, especially with a residency. You can fall into a bit of a habit where you just play the same thing every week.
Yeah, is that what you kind of get scared about doing as well? Like, let's say 100%. If the same person comes 2 weeks in a row or 3 weeks in a row and they know what's coming up. And
yeah, definitely. I found myself falling into that habit where you kind of play, because it worked well last week, like a mixture of anything. You've done it for the first time last week and you think that sounded really, really good. So then you do it the week after because it sounded really good, but then you see someone in the crowd that was there last week and you think, oh, that shit, they heard that last week. But yeah, sometimes I've come away from a set and I thought, I haven't taken many risks there. I've played the same set that I played last week. Next week, I want to take a few more risks. And then that's when I'll go away and I'll look for a few tunes that might not be new, but like, will, you know what I was speaking about earlier, where the crowd, you know, throwing it in and they don't expect that they want to hear it. I'll try and do that and change up my set a little bit like that. And that keeps it interesting, like changing your set up.
So predominantly the crowd in unit, is that more house and techno people, or is there still a bit of the multi-genre side of things as well?
It's definitely multi-genre because there's three rooms. Our room is called Arena. That's obviously just that's purely house and tech, but the rhythm room, like the R&B, hip-hop, urban kind of music, that pops sometimes like bigger than the main room, if you will. That can sometimes be walked, like, to be honest, every week, wall to wall. So it is literally between that wall of one room to the other, it's massively contrast, but yeah, it's definitely not genre.
Have you ever had problems like drawing the crowd to the wrong room, or you've drawn all the crowd from the hip hop room, even if they weren't techno fans coming into your room or stuff like that, and DJs getting annoyed about that? Or
it's never a problem. It's a very healthy competition. Like, I'm good friends with the DJ in the R&B room, so if he's smashing it, I'm happy that he's smashing it. And he'll say to me like, oh, how's it in there? And I'll be like, oh, it's not amazing tonight, but it's sick in here, so that's good. Like, it's never a problem with it. It happens. Like, sometimes there's a week where people are more the house kind of crowd, and then there's weeks where they're more the R&B and urban kind of crowd. So it does happen. So
Do you think there's more? Do you think there's a big rivalry between DJs, or not really?
I think there is more than people let on. Like, I think a lot of, I see a lot of DJs, and there's not nothing wrong with it, but I think they kind of kid themselves in. I think it's a nice idea to say DJs support each other.
Yeah.
We all should support each other. That's a nice thing to say and a nice idea, but realistically it's not necessarily the case. Like, there is competition.
Yeah, because once you step out in the clubs, like, no one's going to really care who you are in that sense. Like, of course, like, we could be having this conversation now, right? But when you're doing your thing and I'm texting you like, oh, do you think you could get me this or whatever, or someone's like, you're going to be like, well, you know what, you'll be like, I'll try and help you as much as I can, but I'm not going to jeopardise my set. Maybe, like, you're not that type, but that's kind of how it is, though, when you're in the industry. Like, right now, no one's doing anything, so everyone's, like, more than happy to help, whatever. But when it comes to the money side of things, I think that people are kind of, like, there is a little bit of a competition.
Yeah, there's definitely a competition. I found what has been frustrating in the last few years that I've personally seen is I've seen big DJs say, oh, you know, us DJs, we've got to support each other. But they only kind of support the DJs that are on their circle, that the DJs that are on their level, that they, if they support them back, then they get something from it as well. So then they both kind of go, but they not necessarily supporting the people below them, because why would they? That person could then take their set.
Yeah.
That I've seen that happen. So I don't get me wrong, like, I try and support as many DJs as I can. But I've definitely seen, like, you know, I can just see it, like, in people that, you know, they'll support, but they're kind of out for themselves a little bit. I don't know, like, it's nice to say, oh, let's all be friends, let's all get on, but at the end of the day, people are out for themselves. So there is competition, basically. Long story short, there is competition.
Yeah, definitely. So what's your take on reality TV stars going into DJing?
Nothing wrong with that. Do it. Like, they've got that crowd. If that's 9 times out of 10, it's something they've always wanted to do, but just never done it. And now they've got a platform to do it. Why not? I mean, Joel Corry, big example of that. He was a DJ before he was even on Geordie Shore.
Okay, so yeah, there's the difference, right?
He wasn't even
right?
on Geordie. Yeah.
There's the difference, right? So if you were a DJ before, then go to reality TV, then come back and still do DJ, and then that's cool. But do you have a thing against people who went on reality TV, they ain't got anything else going, so they just hop onto the DJ kind of thing?
I think it depends. It kind of depends on the circumstance. If they hop on to the DJing thing because it's popular, then at the end of the day, what can I do about it? I can't do anything. No one can do anything. They're going to do it. You just got, why worry about them? They've got 50,000 fans on Instagram.
Yeah.
That's their circumstance. That's their thing. I'm not going to have a problem with it, but I don't really care. It's when what's happened before is a club has booked a reality DJ,
yeah,
a reality star who's a DJ, and he comes in, and they don't actually know what they're doing. We've had that where they come in and say, "How do you actually?" So am I on these two channels? Okay, so how do I turn my music on? And you've got to help them actually.
Yeah.
Set their stuff up. I think that's embarrassing for them to do that.
I think that's just the basics. That's just the basics of DJing, just knowing your equipment. Like, yeah. I don't, like, obviously, for people who don't know, obviously, that the jump from a controller to CDJs and to vinyl is massive. Like, it's totally different. But at least knowing how to get around each, you don't need to be amazing at all three. Obviously, that helps. But just knowing it is better than not knowing anything.
I think it says a lot about them as a DJ, as a professional, really, to come in and just be able to set your own stuff up, not ask the resident DJ. That's been probably, I think it's embarrassing as well, because that resident DJ has probably been a resident DJ or a DJ for 5 years. They've been, and they're not being paid $2,000 for an hour.
They're not $3,000, yeah.
They've been grinding, and they've not got the success that you have. And they're not getting paid the money you have. They're not getting paid the fans you have. They've not got the fans you have, and you're asking them to set up your stuff for your. In that respect, yeah, it's not good. But there are a lot of cases where these reality star DJs have respect for it. Like Joel Corry has massive respect for that, for the house scene. You can tell just from his social media and the music he plays. He's got big respect for it. He's not a pretender. He's working hard. So, and I suppose he wasn't a reality star and then a DJ, he was a DJ first, but that, you know, that kind of springs to mind when I think of reality DJ, but he's smashing it. So
So for you, USB or laptop when DJing?
I'd use USB. I started on laptop, Serato, Scratch Live, Serato DJ and that. And then it was just easier. I tried the USB thing years ago. I didn't like it. But then who I DJ with, Sam, he said he moved over to it and to USBs, and he was like, it's improved me as a DJ. I enjoy DJing more, purely because of like the kind of process of getting your music together, scrolling through your USB. When you're scrolling through a USB, you've come across a track where you weren't looking for that track, you're looking for another track, but you'll see it and you think, oh, I'm going to play that. Whereas on your laptop, you get into a habit of just typing the song you want, and then you forget about a lot of songs. When you're on a laptop, you're not scrolling through the thing, you're normally typing to get a song you want. So you miss a lot of songs.
That's a good point. Yeah, I just realized that now when I'm like, I rarely scroll through. If I am, I know it's in that crate and I'm just trying to find it in the crate.
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, if it's just on the library in general, then I'm obviously typing it.
Yeah, that's the habit I got into. And at first, I didn't like that about USBs and CDJs, where I couldn't type and find a song quickly. And that sometimes that can be frustrating anyway, because I know I want to play that song and I'm trying to find it. So that can be frustrating in that respect. But at the same time, you do come across songs that you weren't going to play.
Yeah.
That are kind of lost in a playlist. Say you've got 100 songs in a playlist, you don't come across it all the time. So it helps in that. So then you start playing songs that you haven't played in a while, and it just brings that freshness to a set. Mm. So and also it's just so easy just to export all your songs on a USB. And I've the last, or when we were DJing, I'd turn up to a club with my headphones and a USB and I'm good to go. Don't have to set up a laptop and RCAs and all that kind of stuff. So it's just easier for me personally.
So to wrap everything up, in terms of your production, when's the next tracks coming out? What's your plans? Are you keeping that under wraps or?
No, I've got a few tracks that I'm sitting on. I just kind of need them mixed and mastered, and then I've been doing a lot of edits and remixes of just like other tunes, and so now I want to try and do more original stuff and maybe get them signed to label. So I've got a few tracks I've been through I was thinking of, like, in quarantine, like making, I just wanted to experiment and make loads and loads of music.
Yeah.
Not necessarily do anything with it, but I wanted to do that. And then my idea was to make, like, I don't know, like a quarantine mixtape, put it on SoundCloud, all the tracks I made in quarantine, like 10 songs or something. And that was my idea, but I don't know, I might do that. But I've got a few tracks, hopefully you get them signed. If not, I'll just release them on the...